want to invite you tonight to take your Bible, please, and go with me back to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. If you are with us this morning, you realize that we're going to conclude tonight the message that we started this morning. In our morning services, we are considering thoughts under the title, Ensuring the Future of Christ's Church. As we consider our church, as we consider the days ahead, we realize that there are things that we must do in order to ensure that this church will continue on as it has for so many years, for the honor and glory of God and for the good of other men. We realize that there is a time coming where all of us, if the Lord Jesus Christ would tarry, will pass from this scene. We'll no longer be a part of what goes on here on a day-to-day basis. We're going to be in glory. But the goal and desire that we ought to have as a congregation is to ensure that when we depart from this scene, what is left behind is a church that will continue on faithful for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So last Sunday morning we discussed the reality that if we're going to ensure the future of Christ's church, we have to stand firm on the foundations that we've been given. We have been delivered unto us the faith, the truth of God's word. We are responsible to that truth. We are responsible to ensure that we are faithful to that word and that we never depart from it. We also saw this morning as we began that there is a need within the church as well to seek a fresh start. We're in Philippians chapter 3 and our focus is on verse 13 and 14. And I want you to follow along as I read, beginning in verse 12. And then we're going to consider the rest of our message this evening. Paul writes, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." As we seek to ensure the future of the church, and as we seek to have a fresh start, we understand that we serve a God who gives to all of us new beginnings. He gives us fresh starts. Matter of fact, there's not a day that goes by that shouldn't be reminded to you. For you get a new start every morning. You wake up on Monday morning, and today may not have been the best day, but you get Monday morning. It's a new day. It's a new week. In just a little while, we're going to have a brand new month. October may not have been all that successful, but November can be wonderful. And the reality is, our God is a God of new beginnings. He gives us a fresh start. And all of us come at life with our past. There are things that we look back with fondness on, and there are things that we look back and we regret. So as we begin to consider these thoughts, as we started this morning, we talked about this fresh start needing to help us, first of all, settle up our past. We need to settle up our past. If we're going to ensure the future, then we have to realize that in order to ensure the future, we have to be looking in that direction. We have to be considering what lies ahead. We can't be looking back and focused and living in our past. So Paul would say to us in verse 13, that though he realized that he had not yet obtained, he realized he was not perfect, there was a need in his life to press on for God. And in order for him to be successful in that and accomplish that goal, he would have to forget that which was behind. There's a need for us to forget. We said this morning that we need to forget the failures of our past. We have failures. For some, the reality is we live our life with the thought of what might have been. But if we're going to be successful as a church and as families, as individuals, we've got to forget those failures. We also said that we have to forget those successes. We can't live in the glory days. We can't live in our past successes. We all have them. We all look back with fondness to them. However, our eyes must be fixed forward. We have to be looking for what the Lord has in store for the days to come. We can't live in our past. We've got to learn to set those things behind us. Thankful to God for all that He has done. But you and I can't live in our past. There are many today who simply live in their past. Because of their past failures, they have no ability to seemingly go on and serve the Lord. They're discouraged and they're depressed, and they just can't seem to find a way that somehow God could ever use them again. But folks, our past is behind us. The present and the future lie before us. And Paul is understanding that if he is going to reach the finish line, if he is going to take the victor's crown, he must forget the past. Not only are we to forget the past, but we spoke this morning of the need to forgive. In our past, there are hurts. In our past, there are problems. Those hurts and those problems want to cause within us resentment and anger and bitterness. And oh, that God's people would learn to forgive. As we talked about that need of forgiveness, we spoke of, first of all, a need to forgive our own selves. And by that we mean accepting the forgiveness that God has given. Yes, we have made our mistakes. Yes, we have failed. We have sinned against Almighty God. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful, He is just, He forgives us, and He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Sin separates, but God's forgiveness restores. Though our sins be as scarlet, they are as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There is a forgiveness that God offers. And oh, that we would learn to accept that forgiveness. Folks, we have an enemy, the devil, who wants you to live in your guilt. He wants you to believe that because you have sinned, you are no longer useful at the hands of God. I have listened to folks say, oh, I wish I could serve the Lord again. But I failed and I've fallen, and I don't think the Lord would ever want to use me. Yes, He does. He longs to use you. He longs to use me. And none of us have already obtained. None of us are perfect. Paul recognized that within his own life. He would even say, you know the things that I know I don't want to do? Those things that I'm convicted of that I shouldn't be involved in? That's what I tend to do. And the things that I know I need to do, those things that God wants me to be involved in, I struggle to do those things. None of us are perfect. We all struggle. We all fail. But God in His wondrous grace forgives. Amen. We can be used for Him. You can look at your past life, folks, and you can see where you have failed. But God forgives. We can look back as a church and we can see our failures. Would that stop us from going forward for the Lord in the future? It shouldn't. Because, folks, God still wants to use our church in a wonderful way. He has placed us here. If He was done, folks, we would be done. But He has left us here. He has called us together. And we need to accept that forgiveness. We also need to learn to forgive others. Folks fail us. Folks hurt us. Pastors fail their people, and people fail their pastors. We fail our spouses. We fail our children. We fail our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can look at those right around the room tonight, and we can even probably think of a time that they had promised to do something for us and they failed. We all fail. We fail one another and we fail the Lord. But the reality is we need to forgive one another. If you and I are stuck in our past with those bitternesses and with those hurts, we will never go on for God. This morning we gave you the example of Esau. No doubt it was difficult to realize that his brother had tricked him out of his birthright and blessing. Yet the reality is this, as we come to the scripture, God had chosen Jacob and he hadn't chosen Esau. Jacob was getting the birthright and Jacob was getting the blessing. Now he went about it the wrong way. But Esau always struggled with that. And what do you find? You find the land of Edom. Is it a place where God was known? Sadly, no. But did not Jacob and Esau have the same parents and the same heritage? Did they not both know, and were they both not introduced to the one true God? Yet in the line and the descendants of Esau, there is no knowledge of God. Only in Jacob. We have to be careful to not allow that bitterness and that anger cause us to fail the grace of God. There are problems of our past. Let us learn to forgive. If you look back to the past of this church and you see those things which would cause you no longer to trust in the leadership or trust in the direction that we are going, listen. Forgive. Trust again and move on with us as an army of God. For the Bible tells us that as the church moves forward, the gates of hell can never prevail against us. We are victorious in Jesus Christ. We can abound in the work of the Lord. Our labor is not in vain in Him. If you and I are going to seek a fresh start and as such ensure the future of our church, then there's a need to settle with our past. But there's a second thought that Paul gives to us in these verses. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We have to settle up on our past, and we need to set our sights on the prize. There's a race to be run. To ensure the future of Christ's church, we need a fresh start. And that means that we must, in order to be victorious, focus on that which is before, to set our eyes upon the prize. Our past, that's behind us. But our present and future and opportunity lies before us. And folks, that's what excites me. Although in my own spiritual life, in my own spiritual walk, I might stumble and I might fall, there is still yet another day for me to serve God. There is still another opportunity for me to know Him better. I can return unto Him and in prayer seek His forgiveness, and there is opportunity still for fellowship. There's another leg of the race to run. We have to keep our eyes fixed and focused on that which is forward. We have to set our eyes upon the prize and understand that there is something worth running for and something worth fighting for. Paul in this verse gives us the analogy of a race. It's our duty to focus on that which is presently before us, and to seek to use each opportunity for the glory of God and for the good of others to come. Paul pictures for us in the life of the believer as a race that is to be run, and a race that is worth trying to win. We mentioned this morning that Paul was able to say at the end of his life, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I kept the faith." Each and every one of us is in a race. We are to run that race with patience. It has been set there before us, and we are to run that we might obtain. I don't do a whole lot of running. I do with the kids or with our youth. I've always thought about taking it up, and I've never gotten started in it. I was impressed with Brother Herbster when he was here and the length that he used to run. And he would talk about the marathons that he would go in and run. I still don't understand that, even if I would take it up on occasion for fun. I don't know how that's fun. But I can't imagine running a marathon. Why run 26 miles when you could drive it, right? You get there a whole lot quicker, and it's a whole lot less agony. But you know, someone who's going to run in a race really doesn't spend their time focusing on those who are running behind them. Do they? If they do, they're going to get off course. If they do, they're probably going to stumble and fall, probably get hurt, and probably be out of the race. Someone who is running the race needs not to be concerned with those that are running behind them. They are focusing on that which is right before them, and they are concerned and concentrating on that finish line. To run in the marathon, there is a course that is set. And you must focus on each step that you are now taking and keep your eyes fixed on the reality that I want to finish the race. Most who run that race realize that when they enter a marathon, they're not going to win. Their goal is to beat their last time. They're really competing against themselves. So they are focusing on what they need to do right there in front of them, but they're thinking of what is to come, the finish line. But they're not spending a whole lot of time looking back. If we're going to ensure the future of our church, we don't need to look back, but instead focus on that which is before us and concentrate on the end goal. In order to do that, folks, that's going to require that we as a church operate under a God-given vision. I often think of the words of Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, that's a verse that's often shared with those in leadership. And encouraging them and exhorting those who serve in leadership to have a good vision. For without a vision, it's hard to lead people. And without that vision, people around you will perish. That's a good challenge for a leader. I'm mindful of that. I seek that. God, give me the vision. Show me where you want us to go. But you know, it's one thing for the leader to have a vision. It's another thing for people to follow that vision. And sometimes, folks, that's where we get lost. At times, a vision can be placed before us, and yet we lose focus on that vision. We're spending our time looking back. We're spending our time looking around instead of focusing on that which is before us. The future of our church will suffer if we today do not operate by God-given vision. Perhaps today you and I may suffer. We may struggle with ministry and life because in times past there was no vision or we lost sight of that vision. But if we're going to ensure the future of our church, there is a need to be ever looking forward with a God-given vision, focused on the prize, focused on what He desires and what the course might be, that we might finish our course. How wonderful it would be, would it not? If the Lord Jesus Christ would tarry another 100 years because he is long-suffering, and in that time, this church still remain faithful to the message of the gospel and the truth of his word. That doesn't happen often. But folks, that's the goal. Till Jesus comes, that we be faithful to the truth that's been delivered unto us. That we would operate for the glory of God and for the good of those around us. You and I may soon pass from the scene. Yet the reality is there ought to be a place that has not changed its doctrine, has not changed its practice, that has not changed the truth, has never compromised, but still stands firm on its foundations, all the while still seeking with fresh eyes what God would have us to do and accomplish the task that is right before us. Our world is ever changing. And we need to reach our world and our community for Christ. The dynamics of our island are ever changing. And there are countless thousands who have never heard the wonderful news that Jesus Christ can save. And God has still placed on us the responsibility to make sure that Newfoundland and Labrador is reached with the gospel. How will that be done? There needs to be a vision and an understanding and a goal in mind. We have to understand the race that we are running. If we want to ensure the future, we must run the race and be focused on what is before us, and by godly vision strive to reach the finish line. Can I caution you here for a moment as we consider that thought of a vision? Because sometimes I think there's confusion as to where visions come from and how they're regulated. Folks, when we talk about a vision, it's important to understand that vision is not something that is man-made or man-thought up. But all vision must come from the Word of God. It's as we come to the Word of God that God impresses upon the heart of His people a God-given vision for the day in which we live. Amen. Is His Word not relevant to our generation? It is. How do we take that truth and that has been given unto us, and how do we apply that to this generation in which we now serve? But a vision comes from God's Word. It's not the mind of man. It is the mind of Almighty God that we need. And God speaks through His Word. So if anyone claims to have a vision and that vision does not match up with the Scripture, it is not God-given. It should not be followed. And there are many today offering those visions. Take heed to those and avoid them. Like a plague, for they are a plague. We don't need worldly philosophy. We don't need ungodly music. What we need is to stand true to the foundations that we've been given, the Word of God, and God will give us a vision. Second, a true God-given vision is always presented through God-given leadership. You study the Scripture, folks, and you will find that God chooses to use men to communicate His vision to others. And we are given the command to obey those that God has given and submissively follow those whom the Lord has appointed. We need a vision for our day. And oh, that we would come to the Word of God and find that vision. Secondly, Paul reminds us of the reality of the reward. He gives us the analogy of the race. But he reminds us of the reward. As we focus on the prize and run with a God-given vision, don't forget that there's a prize for which we run. Paul would say, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul addressed the church at Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 9, he would urge them to run that they might obtain the prize. To run that they might obtain the crown. And we run and we strive that we might win a crown that is incorruptible. In Hebrews chapter 6, we're reminded in verse 10 that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which he hath showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Our God is willing to reward those who are faithful, and there is reward for all who run the race and run it well. In Hebrews chapter 12, we are reminded that we are running before a great cloud of witnesses. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're reminded who they are, those men of faith who had run before us, who had set the example, men like Abraham and men like Moses and men like David and Elijah and Elisha. Men like Paul and men like Peter. Men that we can even look now to in our current day that we would understand who have lived for God. There's a reminder for us all that there is a reward for those who run. There is a prize that is set before us. Let us run that we might obtain. If you run 24 miles of a 26 mile marathon and leave the course in the end, do you get a prize? You almost finished. If you run 25 and a half of the 26. If you're just a block short and decide, you know what, I've had enough and I quit, or I'm going to go a different way. I'm going to change my own direction because I think there's a better finish line for me. Do you get a prize? No. Can I say this to you? We as a church have run for 55 years. In faithfulness to God and His Word. I don't know when Jesus Christ is coming again. It may be tonight.
Amen. Amen.
But folks, it may not. 50 more years might pass. We all might be dead and buried here in Newfoundland. If there's room for us here, I don't know. We're running out of room in our cemetery. They might just ship us off somewhere else or bury us at sea. I don't know. But none of us might be here. Will the course still be followed in 50 years? That's what I want to see accomplished. I have no idea how long God will give me here as your pastor. I hope it's a long time because I really hate moving. And I love the place that we are at. But you know, I'm responsible as your pastor to keep this church on course, the course that it's been given. And I'm responsible to ensure that it continues on that course even if I depart. See, it's not enough to run 25 miles and then leave. The race. I want to complete the course. It's not good enough for me in my own life spiritually to have run well for many years and then at the end of my life say, you know what? I've given up on God. I'm going to do it my own way. And sometimes we get off course, folks, because we're too busy looking back. It's hard to stay on the right road when you're looking behind you. Or looking all around at those who had hurt you. That's why we must settle up with the past and we must set our eyes on the finish line. So that we ensure that in the end, our church completes its course and finishes the race. Let me ask you tonight, are you concerned for the future of Christ's church? Do you long to know that His church will continue on and be faithful even once we have passed from the scene? No, the Apostle John wrote in 3 John in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Paul was able to write, and we've been studying of the church there in Thessalonica. He was able to write back to that church with great joy, even though he was only with them for a short period of time. But he rejoiced with them that they were faithful. Even though they had gone through afflictions and persecutions, they had come to those contrary winds that we had discussed, but still they were faithful. Certainly all of us want to know that that could be said of even this place. Though this church continues to walk in the truth. There is no greater testimony for the Lord in our day than the longevity of a ministry's faithfulness to the Lord. This island needs to see the longevity of faithfulness. You say, oh, they've seen 55 years. Folks, it's not enough. After 55 years, they still don't know what a Baptist is. And they still don't know what we do here. It takes time. And we need to continue to be faithful. And if we want to ensure the future of our church, Christ Church, then folks, be willing and ready to stand firm upon the foundations given. And yet today, seek for a fresh start. Setting aside our past, looking forward to the future for all that God has. A fresh start means that we'll have to, again, keep our eyes fixed upon the prize. We're going to have to change some of our thinking that does not line up with the Word of God and the visions for the day. Just because we've always done it that way doesn't necessarily mean that's how we're going to have to do it in the days to come. God will guide us and He'll direct us in the way we ought to go. Our past is behind us. Our present is before us with all of its opportunities. We need to look with a God-given vision to the future, that we might be always able to be a good witness, true to the Word of God in faith and practice, till Jesus Christ comes again. Folks, let us run our race with patience, and let us look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And let us weigh aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us, that we might ensure the future of Christ Church here in Newfoundland. Shall we pray?